Hello, my name is Sipporah Weinberg. Welcome to Torah Simecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be studying Sefer Tehillim, Perek 88. This Perek stands in contrast to all the other Prakim we studied together thus far that fall under the purview of Bnei Korach. All the other Prakim speak of yearning, desire for Yerushalayim, the surety that Hashem will return and rest His presence there and bring pride to that place, and the invitation to all the other nations to pay tribute to Yerushalayim. Just yesterday, we ended the perek with the optimistic idea of Visharim Kecholalim Kol Ma'ayanai Bach, all a beautiful song of active and palpable hope for salvation. But this perek is heavy with grief and anguish. Its theme is that of Jewish prayer in exile. It ends literally in sadness. Shir Mizmar Levnei Korach, Lamnatzeach al Machalas La'anos Maskil Heiman Ha'ezrachi. A song with musical accompaniment of the sons of Korach. Machalas, a musical instrument, La'anos, that inspires others to respond back to it. Rashi explains that Machalas La'anos is as it sounds, about the sick and afflicted one, and that these words reference the agonized status of Bnei Yisrael, who are being tortured in exile. If this is the case, then already the opening of the perek leads us into this mournful mood as it describes the suffering of the Jewish people. In this very first pasuk, another name appears to which this perek is connected, Maskil Leheman Ha'ezrachi, Maskil a wise man, Heman Ha'ezrachi. We learn of him in Melachim when it describes the wisdom of Shlomo HaMelech, Vayachkam Mikol Adam Me'esan Ha'ezrachi VeHeman. It says, how smart is Shlomo HaMelech? He is even smarter than Esan HaEzrachi and Heman. So there is a debate there if this person was from Shevet Levi, the tribe of Levi, or from the tribe of Yehuda. But one thing we are certain is that he was full of wisdom, and we will see that this perek expresses these wise words. And tomorrow's perek will reference Esan HaEzrachi. The first two pasukim following the opening pasuk open the way, a cry of pain. I scream out to Hashem day and night, please hear my prayer. Hashem, Elokei Yeshua si, yom tza'akti v'alayla negdecha. Tavo lefanecha tefila si, hatei aznecha lerina si, may my prayer come before you. Extend your ear to my supplication. And then we have seven psukim that describe terrible suffering, pasuk after pasuk. Ki sava v'ra'os nafshi, v'chayai l'shol higiu, for my soul is sated with troubles, and my life has reached the grave. Earlier on in our prakim, we had the words, Odcha Hashem Elokai b'chol levavi, I thank Hashem with all of my heart, Ki chazdecha gadol alai, v'hitzalta nafshi misha'ol tachtia. Your wisdom, your kindness, your goodness were so great that you saved me, you saved my soul from the grave. What a contrast here as the Meshorer describes the ways in which Hashem now brings him to descent. Nechshavti m'yor divar, hayisi kegever ein eyal. I was counted with those who descended into the pit. I was like a man without strength. Bameisim chavshi kemo chalalim shochvei kever, asher lo zechartam od, v'heima miyadcha nigzaru. I am considered among the dead who are free, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you no longer remember, and who were cut off by your hand. Here the Meshorer is comparing himself to a dead person, already removed from this world as if completely forsaken by Hashem. This is atypical for our Jewish beliefs. We know that even a dead person can have hope for the future. We believe in the ultimate revival of the dead, but here this is entirely absent. Rambam in Igeres Tchias HaMesim explains this philosophically, that there is no question here that there will be a revival of the dead, but rather it describes the natural phenomenon, what we see without accounting for future miracles. That's what the Meshorer is describing, the stark reality that he sees before his eyes without further elaboration. Evan Ezra, however, emphasizes the words, asher lo zechartam od, that you have not yet remembered. In this moment, the dead are still dead. Their awakening has not yet arrived. But built into that statement is the eventuality that, of course, it will happen. And that is what the pasuk is anticipating. But still, the perek focuses on hard times. Shatani bevar tachtios b'machshakim b'mtzulos. You have put me into the lowest pit, into dark places, into depths of water. Alai samcha chamasecha v'chal mishberecha inisa sela. Your wrath lies hard upon me, and with all of your waves you have afflicted me constantly. Both of these psukim recall the pasuk stated by the Navi Yonah. His prayer from the depths takes a similar form. V'tashlicheni mitzula belavav yamim v'nahar yisov v'veni kol mishbarecha v'galecha alai avaru. Yonah said, you cast me into the depths, into the heart of the sea. The floods engulfed me. All of your breakers and billows swept over me. Hirchakta miyuda ay mimeni shatani soevos lamo kalu v'lo etse. Not enough all the difficulties that I have. You have also estranged my friends from me. I'm lonely. You have made me an abomination to them. I am imprisoned and can't go out. This is comparable to a pasuk in Iov, Achai me'alai hirchik, v'yoda'ai achzaru mimeni, chadlu kerovai umiyuda'ai shechechuni. You have made me distant to all of my friends, and everybody that has known me has forgotten me. So the psukim here recall the two prophets who suffered in the most awful predicaments and the ways that they responded. These dire circumstances are reflected right here in this, the ultimate parak of B'nai Korach. We know, even until today, that the unequivocal condition for happiness and for resilience is good relationships with friends. And the psukim here describe that this friendship, this ability to connect with others, also was taken from our Meshorer. Eini da'ava mini oni, kirasicha Hashem b'chol yom, shitachti eilecha chapai. My eye has ceased to function. Targum explains that this is from the tears he shed because of all of his affliction. I have called you every day. I have spread out my hands to you. At this turning point in the perek, the Meshorer begins to ask questions. Halameisim ta'aseh pele? Im rifa'im yakumu yodu chosela? Will you perform a wonder for the dead? Will the shades rise and thank you forever? If you won't help me now, when will you? It will be too late if you don't do it now. Reb Chuna Kolashitzer called out in the Holocaust to Hashem and he said, I know you will help us, Hashem, but if you don't do it now, who will there be left to help? This plaintive question is rooted here. Rashi explains further that if you don't help us, will you help the evil ones, the Rasha'im, who are considered dead in their lives? Halameisim, in this case, being the Rasha'im and not the dead people. Hayisupar ba'kever chasdecha emunascha ba'avadon? Will your kindness be told in the grave, your faith in destruction? Hayivada ba'choshech pil'echa v'tzidkascha be'eretz nishiyah? Will your wonder be known in the darkness or your righteousness in the land of oblivion? Va'ani elecha Hashem shivati uvavoker tefilasi sekadmecha. As for me, Hashem, I have cried out to you, and in the morning my prayer comes before you. And a question again, lama Hashem tiznach nafshi tastir panecha mimeni? Why, Hashem, do you abandon my soul? Do you hide your face from me? Ani v'goveya minoar nasasi amecha afuna. The final four psukim describe anguish once again. I am poor and close to sudden death. I have carried your fear. It is well founded. Alai avru charonecha be'usecha tzimtzusuni. Your fires of wrath have passed over me. Your terrors have cut me off. Sabuni chamayim kol hayom. Hikifu alai yachad. They surround me like water all the day. They encompass me. And the final pasuk, loneliness. You left me without a friend, without hope. Hirchakta mimeni ohev varea miyuda'ai machashach. You have estranged me from love, from friend. My acquaintances are in a place of darkness. With this perek, we part ways with B'nai Korach, who all along were a font of hope, experiencing ge'ula from the grave and teaching us that it is never too late. There is never a reason to despair, even after one is swallowed into the earth. But here, it ends without any of this. Their songs of the return to Tzion and of Hashem coming to imbue glory into Yerushalayim, and with David inviting all the nations of the world to witness this beauty. Here it almost seems as if all of those prakim were delusion. And the reality, this reality is too much to bear. But if we look a little bit deeper, we can glean that this is in fact the highlight And only due to this perek can we fully appreciate the immense strength of Bnei Korach and the value of the legacy that they transmitted to us. Until this point, whoever read the first collection of Bnei Korach, the first set 42 to 49 and the second collection just now, all that we have learned together, heard pain about the exile, but also a lot of hope, with a great deal of thought to the future, with anticipation and visualization of what the redemption will look like. So the overall impression is life can be hard sometimes. Sometimes there are difficult moments. Sometimes there are better times. A person might be led to think the experience of Bnei Korach really wasn't so desperate after all. But right now, only with this perek have Bnei Korach freely expressed their full reality. To be swallowed up underground is a devastating experience. Exile, the gullus that we have lived through, the larger public gullus as well as the individual gullus that Klal Yisrael has suffered for more than 2,000 years, was beyond description. And with it, Klal Yisrael produced the Gemara, all of rabbinical halachic literature, the Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, the Torah, Kabbalah, Chassidus, Musar, Jewish philosophy, and Jewish thought. There is no nation, no minority or majority group that has been through what Klal Yisrael has been through and has produced what they have produced. This perek is the reality of our experience. It is the hardships we have suffered and the beauty that emerges through Emunah. Everyone knows the famous Gemara at the end of Maseches Makos that talks about Rabbi Akiva coming together with his peers, the Tanaim, to the Har Habayis, the Temple Mount, and they see a fox emerge from the ruins. The Tanaim cry, but Rabbi Akiva laughs. His chilu hein bochen, they begin to cry, but Rabbi Akiva mitzachek, and he laughs. Amrlo, they say to him, mipnei ma ata mitzachek? Why are you laughing? Amar lahem, mipnei ma atem bochim? He says to them, why are you crying? What is the question? What is the answer? Their question, why are you laughing, is that we know that Mashiach will come. We believe what you believe, Rabbi Akiva. But when I face the reality and see a fox where there once was a Beis HaMikdash, I see the terrible situation before my eyes. No words of comfort speak to me. Rabbi Akiva answers, you need to live in a place where the strength of your belief, your emunah, is strong enough to combat the reality that stands before you. And you should laugh. This is what Bnei Korach revealed to us. The actual predicament of exile is awful. There is nothing romantic about it. It is mortifying. It causes you to doubt and to question. It overwhelms you with its crushing weight. But, Bnei Korach say, we were able to daven. We were able to reach out. We were able to transcend that desperate reality. We sought and we sang and attained the highest place of emunah. And here it is in your hands. So this perek, suffused in sorrow, is in fact showing us the true strength of Bnei Korach, whose lessons we had the merit to probe in this format. And now we part from them, forever taking their messages to our hearts and their words to our lips. Thank you for studying together Le'ilui Nishmas Malka Esther Bas Tzvi Yosef.